So the GitHub for Java developers is a session that unfortunately the speakers had issues, not technical issues, even more complicated issues, but hopefully everyone is okay. So we're gonna play a recorded video of that session. And we have one of the speakers that is available for questions over chat if anyone has any questions about that. So let's just roll the video, and then 15 minutes after that, we're going to come back with Andres and Kirk Pepperdine to talk more about Java. There you go.
Joining us today, my name is Byron. My colleague Trent is here as well. And today we're going to walk you through creating a new Java package on GitHub. To do this, we'll leverage a few other products offered by GitHub as well, such as GitHub Actions and GitHub Codespaces. To get started, we have this simple Java Spring Boot application. As you can see, when it runs, it just prints Hello World. We're going to give that a test. Okay. Looks like the server's booted up. Go. And as you can see, it prints Hello World as expected. The next step is to just upload this to GitHub. Code has been successfully uploaded to GitHub. One of the next things we want to do is go ahead and head over to our settings tab and go to security and analysis. Here we're going to enable Dependabot alerts, which will allow us to receive alerts of new vulnerabilities that affect our dependencies. And we're going to enable Dependabot security updates as well. For this next part, my colleague Trent will be walking us through using Codespaces, Actions, and Packages. However, due to technical difficulties, I'll be narrating on his behalf. To get started, we're just going to click and open Codespaces. And this is going to launch Codespaces in the browser. And this may look very familiar to what you saw earlier because it launches an instance of VS Code just like I had running on my local machine. The first thing that's happening here is Trent's going to show you this devcontainer.json file, which allows you to set up the default configurations for your new instance. And he's going to show you this Docker file that he's created as well. During this next piece, we're going to see Trent run the application as is, but from Codespaces. So what he's doing right now is he's issued the command to run the Spring Boot application. As you can see, it's running through the same checks that we saw earlier. We'll give that a second. Now the server's starting to boot up. And it looks like it's running. So now he's just going to issue a curl command to hit the same endpoint that we hit earlier. As you can see, it returns Hello World as expected. And now the next part he's doing here is he's launching it in the browser from Codespaces. And he's also using Postman to hit that URL. And as you can see, both things returned Hello World as expected. So now the next thing that Trent's doing is he's going to modify the code from within Codespaces and then relaunch the application. So everything's looking good here. Application's booting up again. It's now started. So again, he's going to the terminal, running the curl command. We see now the new modified response to say, hello, jdconf. He's gonna launch it in the browser. We see the new jdconf there, and again in Postman. And we see the new jdconf hello message again. So he was able to successfully change the code from within Codespaces. Here we see Trent creating a new directory called GitHub Workflows. And under that, he's created a file called CIYAML. And this is really the start of an action script that he's creating. So the first step he has here is to check out the repo. The next step is to set up Java for the action script. And it looks like the next step he's going to do is run a Maven clean and test. So this is going to take our unit test into consideration. So he's pushing the code back to the repository and heading back to the repo. And you can see the action is running due to the yellow status, and there's the CI action he created, and it looks like the test failed. As you can see, test failed because it was expecting hello world, but he changed it to hello jdconf on the last step. So he's got to go and update the unit test to now expect hello jdconf instead of hello world. So now, looks like he's going to run this test again locally before committing it. Looks like the build was a success. So now he's going to commit his new changes, which was fixing the unit test. Push that back to the repo. And now the action is running again, and everything passed. Now going back to the repository, you can see there are no packages associated with this repo yet. So one of the next things we're going to do is go back to the action script that we created earlier and make a modification. Where we had Maven test, we're going to change that action to now be build, test, and deploy. And we're just going to swap out the Maven test command with the Maven deploy command and pass in an environment variable that's needed in order to do that. Everything else is taken care of in our POM file, so it understands how to publish the package. Now, Trent is gonna commit this new change that he just made back to the repo. And when he does that, the action is gonna kick off again. So let's wait and see what happens. So our action is already completed since this latest push. And as you can see, there's now a new package created. So now Trent wants to take it to the next step and create a Docker image out of this application. In order to do that, he's gonna have to pass in a few variables to make that happen. Now get ready to commit our changes, push them, which which is going to trigger our action script again. Go back over to the repo. See, the job is already run. And on refresh, now you can see this brand new Docker image that he's created. So the next thing Trent's going to do is copy that Docker command, and he's going to run the image. You can see the application is booting up. And in another terminal, he's going to issue a curl command. And you see it returns hello jdconf as expected. Now that we've gone end to end by creating a repository, editing it in code spaces, creating actions that run whenever we push changes, and finally creating new packages from the repository, I want to take this moment to cover a few of those GitHub products a little more. First product that we enabled was Dependabot. Dependabot is a security tool that can be enabled on any of your repositories. Once enabled, it scans your code for any security vulnerabilities and reports them to you. These reports can be delivered via email, or they can also be seen as a part of the UI experience on github.com. Dependabot also has the ability to open pull requests within your repositories with suggested fixes for security vulnerabilities that is found. This helps to keep your code secure and up to date while allowing you to view the proposed changes and the impacts they might have. CodeSpaces is a new product offered by GitHub that allows you to create a cloud-based dev environment. Once the environment is created, you have the ability to connect to it via your internet browser, Visual Studio Code, or Visual Studio. CodeSpaces gives you the ability to automatically set up dependencies and SSH keys. You also have the ability to customize your editor using .dot files and other extensions so that your workspace is always consistent. And of course, since this environment is in the cloud, you'll have the ability to develop from anywhere, at any time, on any device. Actions is a product that makes it easy to automate all of your software workflows. The workflows are event-based and can be triggered from events such as code pushes or on issue creation. Actions support every major operating system, programming language, and can run tasks in parallel. You'll have access to logs and never have to worry about exposing any of your secrets. There are also tons of open source action workflows that are already available for you to use. GitHub Packages is a software package hosting service that allows you to host your software packages privately or publicly and use packages as dependencies in your projects. We have support for many different registries such as containers, NPM, Maven. This product works seamlessly with existing package managers, and you also get some of the security features that comes with the GitHub ecosystem.
All right, so that was GitHub for Java developers. If you want to try it out, you know, just go to GitHub and try GitHub Actions. It's free. The package repository is also free. You can have your own Maven repo on GitHub for your personal projects. I think the capabilities are great. And one thing, GitHub CodeSpaces, I've tried myself. You have your Java project. If you have access to CodeSpaces, I think they're rolling out. Not 100% of GitHub users have access to it, but if you're lucky and you got access already on the first and few batches of access for GitHub CodeSpaces, give it a try. It's a nice functionality that already existed before. It was called Visual Studio Online and then became GitHub CodeSpaces. You just have your project, you open up through the browser, you can make some more advanced changes to your project instead of using the GitHub editor in the browser. So you have a full Java editor with all the Java extensions from Visual Studio Code at your hand. So it's a very nice experience. Definitely check it out. So We have 15 minutes until the next session. So I'd like to take this moment to welcome a good friend of mine and your previous speaker back to the show. So let's welcome back Andres Omre. Andres, hello. Welcome back.
Hello,
you cannot stay away, can you? Like, you have to stick around.
I have a magnetic personality.
I see that, and I love it. Thank you so much. So the surprise guest for today is the guy that helped me make JDConf a thing. So let's welcome Kirk Pepperdine into the show. Kirk, how are you doing?
And he froze.
And he's having technical issues. Of course, you're having technical issues. Are you still having technical issues, Kirk? Come back. He just ruined the entrance. Okay.
Yeah, so he says, you're the one that is running the show right now.
So basically, Kirk wanted to have this moment on stage where somebody goes through the curtain and then they have to come back, close the curtain again, and then just makes like it never happened and go all over again. So let's give it a try. Hey, yeah. Welcome, Kirk.
There we are. Hey, there we are. Hey, Bruno. Hey, Andres.
Hey.
Well, welcome, Kirk. I love how you did a virtual reopen the curtain on stage. Very nice. Very nice. Well done.
Yeah, it was fun.
Well, I gotta ask you, are you having technical problems with your computer? I heard you're using Windows. Is that right? At Microsoft?
I think it's frozen because unlike Switzerland, in Canada, we not only have mountains, but we have snow on them. So
I'm pretty sure there are a couple of mountains in this country that are a bit famous, don't you think?
A few.
That snow on them too. Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. So I think the internet here has just gotten frozen. So the
thing with Switzerland and Canada is Canada decided to just be a frozen flat place, mostly. And Switzerland decided to be like an uphill, like all together, like a 200-story tall frozen building.
But then that's only in the south part of the country. In the north, where I am, it's just flat.
Okay. Are the trains still on time in Switzerland, or are they getting this Brazilian way of life of lifestyle?
Oh no, there's a riot if a train gets late more than 4 minutes.
More than sure. 4 minutes? 4 minutes, yeah. There's a riot?
Yeah, that's a national crisis.
So the last time I was up to your place, I don't remember it actually being all that flat.
Well, yes, my place is at one of the only hills in the area.
In the area, yeah. Okay.
Tell me, Andres, you believe in Java, you believe in open source. Do you believe in flat Earth?
What? What kind of question is that?
It's a very strange question. You know, Andres is like, let's switch this around to less flat Earth.
I just want to make sure I still have good friends.
Yeah. So, I mean, every time we get together, Andres is always showing me this like weird, strange, open source project. And some of them are, they're all pretty cool, but you know, Chris obviously had problems with power, unfortunately. And so, we were texting at strange, times of the day to get Andres in. And he says, "Oh, I talk about Larry." We have a talk about your fearless leader.
I know, right? The name is a bit confusing, but Gunnar is the one that came up with it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was intentional.
So this is, as possible. And I was just like going like, wow, this looks great. I mean, so the question is like, what's your comparison with OSGI with Larry at the moment?
Well, so SGI has been alive for quite some time. I was mistaken some years ago. It actually became a specification on the JCP. There's a JSR for OSGI version 4.2, I believe. Latest release of the specification is 6 something. I don't care much about that specification. If it were to be the panacea, that will solve everybody's problem. Everybody will be talking about OSGI. Fact is, that's not the case. Now, I'm very happy to say that Larry provides some of the capabilities and some of the features alongside JEPMS that you can find in OSGI without all the baggage that comes with it. Again, there are good things and bad things about OSGI, but there's a lot of baggage. And Larry is a clean room implementation, if you will, from dealing with modules. And I believe it will give us it will serve as a starting point for perhaps it might become the OSGI in the future. Perhaps it will be the beacon for someone else to build something similar to OSGI on top of JPMS, or to build something completely different that will allow us to have and design better programs.
So, you know, one of the things that that OSGI does is it sort of messes with the class loading specification in the little ways that you don't get delegation anymore, which can, when you start mixing OSGI with regular things, then you can still get the class cast exception, but you're going to get it in very odd ways. It's like foo equals foo, and you're going like, what? You know, they're the same things, same places. Like, what's up with that, right?
Yeah, that's the funny thing about OSGI. If you read the specification, it makes a lot of sense. When you look at the implementations, like, what's going on in here? And one of the things that happens is that they need to hijack the class loader hierarchy in order for things to work. And that does not happen with Larry, because they use the things that are coming directly from the JSL.
All right. So in that case, you get everything working as expected. And,
correct.
Without the class cast, the strange, bewildering class cast exceptions where, you know, exactly. Hey, these two things are the same. What the heck is going on?
Yes. Here? Yes. Something precisely like the point.
Wow. So you also put up another proposal for Maven, which I was a bit surprised because before you'd always been going like Gradle, 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 Gradle. So
yeah, what happened to Gradle?
And what happened to Gradle?
I don't know. I mean, they're still around. So here's the thing. So what part of what I said about this particular session is that, and in my developer life, I jumped to Gradle in about late 2008. This is almost a year after the project got started. This is in very early stages, so I know the tool from the early beginnings. And I completely missed out the ship on Maven 3, which came out in 2010. Now, there are many features, many things that were added to Maven 3 as compared with Maven 2 that I completely missed out. Some of those features are similar to what you found in Gradle, and some of the features are completely different that Gradle can never do. So the other session that I proposed was, as someone that spends so much time looking at a build tool, specifically Gradle, when coming back to Maven, what are those features that you say, wow, that blows my mind because I didn't know that Maven could do that, or that blows my mind because I didn't know that Maven had it, and that the other build tool makes it things much more difficult, or it's impossible for them to have it for whatever reason.
One extra comment on Gradle is that our team recently actually pushed a change to OpenJDK that helps Gradle work better on Windows. So if you run Gradle on OpenJDK 16, I think, 16 EA. Yeah, you have to be on the bleeding edge. Gradle will compile faster, much faster, because of some weird networking things that Windows does that our team found out, and we made a few changes. Anyways, it's great. It works great. So let me bring the next guest. The next speaker on the agenda, Graeme, who also works for Oracle. We have an Oracle invasion here. Oh my God. What's going on?
What's going on?
It's like Microsoft and Oracle together because of Java.
And at least on my screen, the Microsoft people are on the top of the view.
What's up, Grim? How are you?
All good, all good. How are you guys?
Yeah.
Hanging in there?
Great.
Excellent.
Trying to yeah, hanging more. In here. Where are you based, Grim?
I am based in the north of Spain, in the Basque region of Spain.
Okay.
The rainy part.
And that's also the part that brings the best wines, isn't it?
Rioja part that probably brings the best wines, but we have amazing what's called a white wine called Chacolí. So if you're in the region, Chacolí is amazing. The white wine,
very nice.
Okay. Yeah. We should have a wine conference one day, just you and Kirk keynoting.
Completely up for that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There is a non-conference.
There's always a non-conference.
There is a non-conference called Je Chateau that happens 100 kilometers south of Paris. Yeah. And that's what you get. You get Java, you get good company, you get friendship, and you get wine.
Do you get COVID? I had to ask. No, I hope not, right? Can we socially distance during that unconference? How do you do? Okay, here, Kirk. Kirk is the expert on unconference. How would you do an unconference with social distancing?
Wow. That's hard. That's really kind of... The sessions are pretty easy. I mean, you just put one person in a room, like you're done. I mean, it wouldn't be very interesting, I guess. But,
you put a camera in the room, the speaker, and then everybody else is by the beach watching through their phones.
Right. That's
sounds about right.
I think that's pretty much why one of the reasons why J-Crete didn't actually happen this summer is simply because we just. Couldn't manage the logistics. We wouldn't be able to manage the logistics of social distancing where you have so many people doing so many things. I mean, we have everybody making the schedule all at the same time, right? I guess Andres can attest to that, right? So Andres in there with elbows trying to make sure that all the sessions he likes don't actually get.
Grim, have you been to J-Crete before, Grim?
I have not. I have been meaning to go. This summer would be a good one to hop along to.
I heard Grim that some folks on this very session that we are on this screen, some folks here have special skills to get people into J-Crete. You just need to find them online, and then talk to them.
I'm pointing to Kirk.
Access to it, exactly.
Oh, I don't need Kirk. I can just nudge Heinz next time I see him. Just
You realize
that Heinz does a check in with me too. So.
Oh, damn it!
You gotta convince both. You gotta convince both, man. You just lost a credit, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, Heinz and I are the same nationality, so I think I have an advantage in that sense.
That's probably
special,
okay.
Special.
You two, is it South Africa?
Yes, we're both from South Africa originally.
That's correct. Yeah, the first time I actually physically met Heinz was in Cape Town. So, yeah. I'm going to switch to the technical thing, though, right? Graham, can you give us an elevator for Micronaut there?
Build apps faster, I think.
that one has been used by 200 frameworks already.
We have to change that one now. Pre-computed framework infrastructure. There we go. Three word.
That's an interesting one.
Wow. Can you get an acronym out of that?
Yeah, probably.
I can give you a two word slogan. Yeah. Awesome sauce.
All right, guys. We have to go and leave Grim to deliver his session. We are at the hour. So, Grim, take it on, buddy. Talk to you later.
Excellent.